Hello, this is Kendall Goshorn.
Hey, Kendall. This is Tate Mazzima.
Hey, and this is Josh McFall.
And we are the Amateur Experts. This is our first episode of our podcast, and we're really excited. This is about 3 years in the making. And we're excited to see where it goes.
I'm laughing because that's not true.
No, it's not.
That's why it's funny.
We've got a couple goals here. We want to talk about current events. We want to talk about cultural events. Tate is black, so he's in tune with culture.
That's right. I like chicken.
And watermelon.
And we're going to talk about spiritual events, and I'm spiritual, so. And Josh is good with current events.
He also has a perspective since he's, Josh.
Yeah. So. I do have a unique perspective on things.
So, we're just going to introduce ourselves real quick. I'm Kendall, 22 currently, born in 1986.
Single.
I am currently single, and I work at a church.
Oh, that's nice. I am Tate. I'm 23. I'm actually African, so the accent's fake. So my unique perspective is that I'm from Africa, I guess. And, yeah, I'm excited to get this ball rolling.
Nice. I'm Josh McFall. I'm 23. I'll be 24 in December. Birthday coming up. And I currently work at Fidelity Investments, and I do filming on the side. I do little videos for little Facebook. And my unique perspective is I am a cripple. And I love that word.
Not just mental, but also physical.
Yes, physical. I had transverse myelitis, which ate the myelin sheath off my nerves, which made communication stop from my head to my body.
Wow.
Yeah. I feel like that's a moment for us to sing Go Shorty, It's Your Birthday, because you just had to mention that, but I'll leave that for the next
episode.
All right, well, we're going to get on started. First thing we want to talk about today is teen idols. What are they communicating to teens?
You know, I heard this really interesting word the other day in class, and the word is prostitute. Now, I know you're laughing, but you may ask me what that means. Apparently, a prostitute is how parents these days are dressing up their little, 9-10-year-olds. We're talking about teen idols, but it starts a little younger. They dress up their little 9-10-year-olds in all these, lower-cut midriff shirts and little mini skirts and high boots. What image is that sending out to their kids as they grow up?
Well, and do parents even care anymore? Like, on the VMAs, Miley Cyrus was singing, and her dad introduced her. And as soon as she came out, started singing, she was, rubbing on herself, and she was trying to be all sexy. And the dad was there, promoting it, saying, this is okay. So not only is it saying certain things to kids, but it's also saying to parents, it's okay. This is what they're supposed to do.
Isn't she, 15?
16. It was her 16th birthday, and it was the AMAs.
AMAs? What's a VMA? AMAs. Is that even...
Video
Music Awards? See?
Music videos.
I do videos.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So what was this one? American.
This is the American Music Awards.
The AMAs.
Okay. Not to get that confused. But, yeah, seriously, we have this thing that's going on where we're just letting anything go, and it's getting younger and younger. It translates into... what's going on with, I was talking to someone the other day, and apparently the youngest kid that was ever pregnant was 8 years old. And that's kind of ridiculous. When I was 8, I was still thinking girls had cooties and running away from them in the jungle gyms and stuff. And now they're getting pregnant?
You mean the jungles?
Shut up about that African joke. Just doesn't count in this place right now. We're having a serious conversation about children. The next generation, Kendall.
Well, as far as being from Africa, do they have the same sort of cultural differences as teens? Do they get this kind of communication?
Because we're getting a little more westernized, I'm thinking about it. It's funny. If you're from I'm from city Africa. So, I kind of have TV, cable, and all that stuff. But if you're from a tribal African nation type thing, it's not like that. Kids, there's still tribes out there that don't wear half the clothes that we do, but it's not a sexual thing,
Yeah.
But here, they're wearing less clothes so that it appeals to sexuality. And I think that's a little more dangerous because...
Is it even a sexual thing now? Because, I guess the naive side is they're going to say it's not, but it is.
You mean here in America?
Yeah, in America, when you have Miley Cyrus, who's 16, dancing as provocatively as she is.
But what is she selling? I mean, isn't that what she's selling? Isn't she selling her sexuality that I'm this hot 16-year-old. Look at my whatever she's rubbing up on. You know?
Yeah.
It has to be a sexual thing. There's nothing else but sexuality in that, which is comes back to the word prostitute, which I'm not going to explain. You Google that. Google that, and you'll figure it out. But yeah, I think we're selling sex to a very young generation, and we need to figure it out and stop it, and we need our parents to kind of jump on that bandwagon and stop promoting
But they're just, that. They're just pornography is the largest industry in the world. I heard somewhere that it any one year makes more than professional baseball, football, and basketball combined.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So obviously there's money in that. So, I mean, the music business, are the record labels just trying to get in on some of that money? Hey, Miley, here's what you do. You dance like this.
Well, yeah. Honestly, though, if I was watching a TV show, or no, it might have been a movie, like a foreign movie, and the main girl in the movie was not attractive at all. And
what? That's not a movie. That's a nightmare.
But the deal was, I subconsciously got very uninterested in the movie. Not because it had anything to do with sex or, you know, I wasn't watching porn or anything. But the video did not have attractive people. And so just because even the guys in there were not good-looking people, you know, they're not Brad Pitts. They're not, you know.
Tate.
They're not Tate. So it's weird how if you have good-looking people, you would want to see it. Commercials. Sometimes if the people are not, if I don't look at that person and say, yeah, I'd hang out with them, I may not even care what they're selling. So sex is a huge deal, even in the music industry, and but they just keep getting younger and younger. Like,
I'm just going to say it's scary.
Yeah, they're selling sex.
All right, well, let's hop on over to a new movie that's come out that's got a lot of reviews. It was a book series that came out, I was just going to guess, within the last year. And I know that I've known a lot of people that got very excited about this, even people that are adults. And that's Twilight. It was three books, and me and Tate saw the movie recently.
And so did Josh.
Yeah, I saw it.
And so did Josh.
I took my sisters. I would never go on my own.
Okay, that's a date. So Josh went on a date with his sisters. I think the one word that comes to mind for Twilight was creepy.
I was thinking of another C word. I was thinking cheesy.
Cheesy is but creepy. I'm with the creepy. I mean, the guy would go into this girl's bedroom when she was sleeping to watch her sleep.
Agreed.
Because, I mean, okay, this guy, I mean, if you don't know anything about these books, it's a vampire series. But it's really toned down because the person that wrote it is, her name? I can't remember her name. I'll find it here in a second. But she's a Mormon. So, like, most of the stuff is toned down from the usual vampire stuff you see with all the sex and blood and gore. And it's really cheesy because it's all high school. But, yeah, that was creepy. I mean, a guy standing over your bed to watch you sleep, I don't know if that.
Well, here's what I don't get is that I know girls that are attractive and single and or not. It doesn't matter. But they were just, like, head over heels about this guy that he was freaking Casanova Romeo guy. And I don't get that because.
Because he was doing the creepy. Because
he was playing the creepy card.
In real life, they would not appreciate.
I'm thinking that's a restraining order in those cases.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
So I don't get that. If you're a girl and you want to explain that, please email us at amateurexperts@gmail.com. That's AMATURE experts.
And explain this to me. Who in high school had this much time to hang out with friends? Like, I didn't. Maybe I was just uncool.
Yeah, that's
but
it.
But I didn't hang out with her. Like, if I hung out with anybody, it was after school, and it was only for, like 4 hours at my house. We didn't go out. We didn't go to the neighboring town to shop. We didn't, like, and all these movies do that. They, like, who has this time to, quote-unquote, fall in love in these situations?
I mean,
I think it's just because you're uncool.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. But all they did in the movie was do biology. I mean, you don't do anything else at school, right? You
they
just
were hardly,
have the one
they
subject.
Were hardly, if they weren't in lunch in school, they were not in class in the movie. Everything happened outside of school.
It's kind of interesting, though. But, I mean, if you want to go see this movie, I'm just going to let you know. Really cheesy.
Yeah.
Really high school. Really creepy.
Maybe even junior high.
It may be. Yeah, borders a little bit. I mean, like, we were the only people. people that were over the age of 20 that were probably in the movie theater. Everyone else was a teen girl.
Side note, this is. Did you notice that halfway during the movie, I started hearing cans get knocked around? The high school kids sneaking beer? Is that what was happening?
Pretty sure that's what it was. Okay. I never did that in high school.
I didn't say anything, but I was thinking that.
Saint. Segway, talking about movies. You know, okay, so, you know, before movies start, they show all these commercials of stuff happening. So the one night we went to watch a movie, it was Four Christmases, I think it was, and we're sitting there. It's just four guys watching, yes, romantic comedy. You can email us about that too. But they show this commercial with like all these celebrities, and it's like Jennifer Aniston and Robert De Niro or someone are all in this thing. And they show another celebrity, and my friend looks over at me and says, "Hey, look, it's the guy from Dancing with the Stars." I look at him like my face went pale. I mean, I'm black and we don't go pale, but I went pale because the guy that he recognized from Dancing with the Stars is an NFL Pro Bowler. He couldn't look at me and be like, "Hey, there's a football player." He's gonna tell me that that's a guy from Dancing with the Stars. I mean, what do you say to that?
Man card. You take away the man card on that one.
I think we did take it away. I don't think he has it right now.
Well, if I remember correctly, he's like, he did a really good parway or something.
I know. I'm like, are you kidding me? I just, you know, I deleted all the Grey's Anatomy off his DVR and just recorded some NFL games just to make him watch some football.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Segway.
Okay. All right. Let's hop on over to current events. We got a handful of issues. I'm not sure that we're going to get to them all. First one that just pops up at me is we just finished Thanksgiving here. We're a couple days past it. And yesterday was Black Friday.
Yeah.
And is it getting out of control? Tate did some research, and the national debt is ridiculous. How much did you say it was?
Well, what I researched on was how much money we spend during the holidays here. And last year we spent $460 billion. And this year it's up 2% already. Or it's projected to be up 2% by the time the holiday season ends to $470 billion. And I know they had to add, just recently, they had to add an extra zero to the national debt clock because it's getting ridiculous. And we're just thinking, I mean, do we really have to buy as many Christmas presents as we do?
No.
I mean, does your kid really need an Xbox 360 and a PlayStation 3 stacked together with a 50-inch plasma TV? Kendall's like, not.
Kendall's that family who actually gets that. He's like, I know I didn't need it, but I really liked it.
Well, even on top of that, we talked about, I think it was in New York, that there was a lady that worked at Walmart that when the store opened, she was trampled to death, an old lady.
She worked there?
She worked there. She was in her 60s or 70s. And just like how ridiculous that is. How could you be so blind to what's going on around you that you trample a lady to death trying to get your Wii or whatever?
Yeah. They killed the greeter lady at Walmart.
Yeah.
That just makes my heart
no,
hurt.
No more stickers for kids.
No more smiley faces.
No more smiley faces. But I mean, what does that say about our society and how focused on ourselves we are?
All people don't matter. If I get my new Wii, she can die, right?
I guess so.
If she's the roadway to my Wii.
This might even go back to a little bit of the sort of touching on parenting earlier with how we're teaching.
Side note,
our kids.
None of us are parents. We're
Side
note, none of us even have girlfriends.
Do compassion kids count?
No.
They
don't.
Little
dang it.
With your white fake wife.
Little
hey,
begotten.
Shout out to my white fake wife.
Little Anyan over there.
You can email him at our website. What we're doing is we're saying that our kids are the most important. My kids are better than so-and-so's kids. Or not necessarily like straight up saying that, but subconsciously we're saying my kids deserve the best. I didn't necessarily get these things when I was a kid, so I'm going to compensate for it now. So if I have to trample over somebody at Walmart, then I'm going to do that to get my kids what they deserve. That's what we're telling our kids.
And it even goes back to wanting to get your kids to like you. I mean, so many times I think parents have discipline issues. And like, well, if I get my kid this, then maybe he'll finally start minding me. I just say, whip the dang kid.
That's a good point.
We are going to get the devil children. this is what we're applying for right now.
Yeah. But I mean, that's exactly what it is we're trying to prove ourselves by giving kids. But what we're doing is we're setting this expectation in our kids.
Yeah.
And the standards that really is unattainable. to be able to give them this each year. And I mean, what happens the year they don't get the Wii?
Right.
Disappointment right. And.
Well, I mean, just look at us, and we can relate this to our everyday lives. If our air conditioner goes out, it's pretty easy to get upset and angry that we don't have an air conditioner. Why? Because we have it every day, and we think eventually we just think we deserve it. And where there's tons of people out in the world who don't live in air conditioning buildings. So we start giving our kids toys after toy after toy after toy. They don't know anything but getting toys and getting what they want. So when they don't get it, or when they find something that they can't have and they freak out about it, throw a tantrum, how else are they supposed to think? And we're just, I don't know. Yeah. Black Friday is just a part of fueling that as a possibility. But it's still good for retail. Like, it's good for business. We don't need to get rid of Black Friday.
Yeah.
We just need to be careful on how we spend that time.
And tagging on to this, what you're saying, what we deserve, let's hop over to another issue. Kind of a tagline. Invisible Children, I'm sure a lot of people have heard of them. They put out a movie 5 years ago called Invisible Children that what it tried to do is expose a problem going on with northern Uganda, where hundreds of thousands of children are having to find refuge every night in places to sleep because they couldn't sleep in their own home. The movie is very successful and even kind of created a movement, I would say, in the States that was, I mean, I don't have an exact number, but fairly large. They've just recently put out a new documentary called Go. And what they're trying to do on this is focus more on the action rather than the problem. It's really easy to get down on the problem, but what they want to do is create people that are in movement trying to help end the problem. And so we're talking about Invisible Children, and then there's a company I know we're all familiar with called Tom Shoes. And what they do is they sell shoes, and when you buy a pair of their shoes, they send a pair of shoes to overseas.
Now, I would not wear those shoes, but they're awesome.
The company's awesome. Good shoes now. Have you been lately?
I've looked on the website. They just don't, you know.
They've got like one or two pair that I think are really great.
Can I play basketball in them?
Can I play basketball at all?
Well, I mean, that's a different story altogether. I'm just saying. I don't know, but y'all need to go to what's the website?
I'll probably TomShoes.com.
TomShoes.com. It's a really good initiative. I mean, there's kids in Africa that don't have shoes, and that's not just one of those statements that your parents say whenever you don't finish food or throw away stuff.
And by the way, we're not getting paid for advertising for these people. We just think they're great. want to throw that out there. Yeah. We're not salesmen. We just think that's a really great
Tom's product. Shoes.
And while you're at it, you might as well check out InvisibleChildren.com. I really think what these people are doing is good. I know that we all have a friend. We should give him a shout out. Unearned.net, Mike Luna.
Yeah, Mike Luna.
Yeah.
What's happening?
The big Mike L.
But what he's doing is he has a company that makes T-shirts, and they give, I believe it's 65% of their profits to the organization that they're working with. I know they paired with an organization called Sons of Thunder, which was a homeless outreach in Denton.
Which is where we're from.
Denton, Texas. What's up? And so what they would do is they'd create a T-shirt, sell it, and the funds. I think a lot of businesses are kind of starting to figure out this model. I know there was Product Red that worked with Gap, and I think they're working with Starbucks right now to create a day. There's a lot of businesses that are starting to follow this model of giving a lot more to foreign aid. Any thoughts on that?
Foreign aid?
I see y'all looking at Unearned.
Yeah, we're looking at Unearned.
I don't know, is it Sons of Thunder that they were?
I think Sons of Thunder was the...
That's where they got the T-shirt with about the kids?
Yeah, the 142 or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm all for foreign aid, being a foreigner, you know, being from a place where... I mean, a place where people need aid. I think it's good for us to look beyond ourselves and beyond just what we can do for ourselves and try and live out the way... I mean, as a Christian, as we're all Christians in here and are trying to live out the way the Bible says we should live out, the way Jesus says we should live out, is to be givers, to be people that help the less fortunate. What I have because God gave to me, but I also should be giving out to other people because I don't need all the stuff that I have. You know what I mean? There's no point in me being a pack rat and like hoarding stuff. I should be able to spread the wealth around.
Agreed. All right, let's just do one more issue here on current events, then we'll move on. We've just recently in the last month have a new president elect, Barack Obama.
Barack Hussein Obama, just so you get it right.
He's the first African American president, even though he's only half African American.
Correct.
And kind of the topic idea was, what will the new president-elect do for the morale of the black community, the white community, the Hispanic, the Asian, the Guatemalan, etc.? What effect will racism have on his term? Any thoughts on that just right off the bat?
I don't know. I think that it's going to hash out some really good things about America and some really bad things about America. I think racism still exists on different levels at different places. Some of the more, you know, country areas are going to show the racism a lot differently than we might in a city, and then the bigger cities might show it a different way than we do. So it's really going to bring some of these things up to the surface, and we get to actually deal with some of them. So I think it's actually going to be a good thing in the end. Although I will say I didn't vote for Mr. Obama. I can go ahead and say that so we can all be clear. because I just have some issues with his issues. I have some issues with his issues.
There's got to be a better way to word that.
No, that's perfect. That's how I do. I use the same
issues
word.
With it, issues. Okay, I'm going to ask this question, really. I mean, this is just from an outside perspective looking in. I mean, don't you think it's going to force us to look at ourselves in the mirror type thing? You know, force us to recognize that there still is racism going on? Because that's the thing that people were like, well, 1968, the civil rights movement, racism died right then when Martin Luther King was shot. Yeah. That's when racism died. We all love each other. Don't you think it's going to make us reflect and be like, but what is it? What really is it? What's really going on under the surface, you know?
Yeah, these things are – I think that it is going to make us look at ourselves in the mirror. We're going to have to talk about things we didn't want to talk about before. When people ask you – or I don't know how often that really happens, but people will say, because people think that you're looking at them like they're racist. They're like, well, I'm not racist, but – and then they'll go on. Well, I'm not racist, but
– because if you say that before, then that makes you not racist.
Yeah. Now,
it's like saying when you're talking bad about somebody, like, I love the guy, but
– or right. No offense.
Right. Or when you're talking bad about something in particular, and then you notice someone in the room has that particular thing you're talking about, and you're like, oh, this doesn't apply to you. This is not you at all. Like, that's exactly what this is. So, like, when racism comes up, the people who are really saying that out loud most of all have some issues. Like, because I notice myself, I make a lot of racist jokes towards my different racial ethnic friends.
Josh McFall.
You hey, I'm broken.
Facebook him.
I'm broken, and I'm going to share a little bit of my brokenness with you right now. So get in close and get out your pen and paper and draw my face so that you can throw darts at it. But in junior high, I was playing, if you can believe it, I was in my wheelchair playing basketball.
Yeah.
Thanks for laughing.
I've seen you play basketball. That's why I'm laughing.
So there was this African-American girl who was playing with us. And first of all, she was a little slow. And so she was already at junior high. You know, you sort of separate yourself from anybody who's different, anybody who's especially mentally different. So you already kind of had this thing against her. And then she brushed up against me and I accidentally scratched her. And I looked at my fingernail, and I saw a little bit of her skin in there. And it was a different color skin than mine. And it I don't know why, but it freaked me out. It just absolutely, like, curdled my insides. And since then, I honestly internally struggle with some bit of racism in me that I don't know where it came from or what to do with it. But, you know, I pray about it. I try to get it through. I journal about it. That it's like this little tiny thing in me. It doesn't take over my ideas on people. I mean, obviously Tate's my friend. I have other friends.
Yeah.
I'll preface this like, I'm not racist.
But
no, but seriously, that's kind of like where I found myself, and I noticed that I would say that from time to time because I'd make good, you know, good jokes. We'll say that.
You know, but this totally goes back to culture and back to the way we've been born and raised. I mean, I was watching something. I'm an RTVF major, and we watch – what I do is pretty much go to class to watch movies and write about them. And that's really my life. But, yeah, we were watching this little documentary made by a 17-year-old African-American girl, and she was just talking about the difficulty of being an African-American girl and all this stuff. But she did this research where she got all these, like, 3-4-year-old African-American kids, and gave them two Barbies to play with, a black Barbie and a white Barbie. And at the end of this thing, she asked each of them which one they would rather play with. And about 75% of all the kids who were all African-American, there's like 20 kids, 75% of them picked the white Barbie. And then she went on to ask them this question. She asked them, which one is the bad doll? She asked them to point out which one was a bad doll out of the dolls that they were playing with. And again, like almost 90% of the kids picked the black doll as a bad doll. Mm-hmm. And then she asked them, which color are you? And they would pick that they were the black kid, you know?
Yeah.
And it just goes
I
back
saw
to
that in my sociology class.
Yeah. It's these are 3-4-year-old kids. I mean, they haven't had enough time to be out in the community to form their own whatever description or whatever you want to call it of what the community is like, but they're African-American kids, and they already have this programmed in their head that black is bad or black is not as good as white. And I mean, that's a community thing. That's how we're raised, and I don't blame it on anyone in particular per se, but it's just the way things are, and it translates as we grow up, and now we have an African-American president, and it's going to come out a lot more. I mean, we're gonna see it. We're gonna see people question themselves and check themselves and all that stuff. It's gonna be an interesting 4 years.
Would you say that's a cultural relevance across the world?
Or I don't
just
know.
America?
I would really like to do that in Zimbabwe and see what would happen. I don't think we would have the same kind of, you know, results just because we have like 1% white population. But yeah, we'll see. I'll do it and I'll come back next week and let you know.
There you go. All right, we gotta move on. We're going to hop on the spiritual issue just a second, and then we've got a couple little special segments. The first one is, and I know Josh is really excited to share his opinion on this, Oprah.
Woo! Oprah.
You get a humpback whale.
Everybody gets a humpback whale.
Damn it, I got to pay the taxes on that. I'm sorry, I don't think we can say that.
No, you can say whatever you want.
Okay, good.
Josh, what do you think about Oprah?
Oprah, wow. One of the 7 heads of the Antichrist.
Wow, you took it there, didn't you?
I did. And Dr. Phil is also one of the other 7 heads.
So we're just missing 5 now?
Yeah, we don't know who the other 5 are yet. I'm pretty
no,
sure.
Okay, no,
I feel like one of them is going to be one of these guys we address next. We're talking about
yeah,
mega pastors.
I'm about to be on this list.
I'm not going to say Jill Osteen. But
wow. Oh, he took it there, too.
Sorry.
He did.
But yeah, no. Why do you feel this way about Oprah? I mean,
well, I have strong opinions about Oprah because I believe that she's really taking some people down a really dangerous path of let's all be good, like let's be relatively good to who we are. Like, where'd you come from? Where are you from? And this is how we relate to that. And just be good. There's no real defining lines of what isn't good or what isn't bad. It's basically she's just fixing some poor people's issues, which is great. I mean, I think she is doing some good in the world, but I don't think she's leading people to a healthy place spiritually, because she's telling them basically that as far as worship goes, as far as who we thank, is very an ambiguous creature. It's just, I think, a God. That works in different ways that says salvation or even if she even believes we need a salvation. She's just leading people to a very ambiguous way of living, a lifestyle of let's just do the best we can and we'll be fine. Don't worry about what's bugging you deep down inside. Don't worry about the brokenness in you. Don't worry about trying to get that fixed, you know, or, you know, who do you go to about it? Oh, let's just pray. I don't care who you pray to. Just pray to somebody.
Well, and even tagging on that, I mean, but that's what they're not only they saying that on TV on ABC and Oprah, they're saying that in our churches.
Yeah.
And once again, not trying to point anybody out particular, but there's a church in Texas that happened to take over a professional stadium by a author pastor who's going to say the same thing. Yeah. He's going to say that that you're meant to be good and that Jesus came so that you could live. Not to mention that Jesus came because you were evil and he had to die for you,
yeah,
so that you could live. So, I mean, we get there and we have these people that just have such a strong voice into our lives that whatever they say, we take as truth. It's unfiltered. It just goes straight to the truth column and we live and die by it. And I think we kind of came up with a little bit of a list of people that kind of do this,
yeah,
both good and bad. and kind of talk about superstardom pastors. I think a few of the names came up with was Mark Driscoll, John Piper, Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, Benny Hinn, the Pope, Rob Bell, Matt Chandler.
You hear the Pope's last sermon? This is awesome. I mean,
did you know that the Roman Catholics believe that when the Pope speaks, when he actually is teaching, that the Holy Spirit is on him in such a way that he is infallible while he's teaching? He's not an infallible human being, but while he's teaching, the Holy Spirit will not allow him to say something that is inconsistent with Scripture. Did you know they believe that?
I gotta get that Pope podcast then.
I heard that on the Guadalupe Radio Network, the Guadalupe Broadcasting. It's a Catholic radio station. Hmm. Just throw that out there. That's the kind of truth that, like, that we're talking about. The blind truth of saying, well, if our organization, our church, says that this guy is infallible when he says something, then he is. Other organizations, like even our own, like the Protestant church that we go to, sometimes we don't teach it to say that whatever our pastor says is absolute truth. We don't teach that at all. Even our pastor is very open about his brokenness, but somehow we get confused when we get, you know, teaching, and we just believe it, everything without question. And even if it sounds good, even if it's very truthful, and we still need to be checking this stuff up on our own. You know, we can't just take it as truth blindly. So we see it on both Protestant and Catholic spectrums.
I think everyone's taking that verse out of the Bible, out of their Bibles, in Acts 17, where Paul is preaching, and it goes on to say that the Luke writes that the Bereans were of more noble character than anyone else, just because after Paul preached, who Paul's a pretty awesome guy if you read the Bible, you know. But after Paul preached, they still went back to the scriptures to check that what he was saying and what he was preaching about was actually scriptural and actually based on something that God would say. And I mean, we have come to the point where it's just, oh, this guy said that. Well, it must be true because they know their Bible. You know, we're not checking our scriptures. We're not going back to the word that God gave us to be able to check and make sure that we're not just being led down this rabbit hole.
Right. Yeah. Books, too.
Well, and then it goes back to so much of this is it goes in full circle because it's laziness at the end of the day. It's that same American. It comes from as early as parenting that we just want everything handed to us on a silver platter. So that's games and toys at Christmas. Of course we do. That's games at Christmas time, and then that's whenever we're trying to even, you know, seek out to figure out our spirituality. We want that also, you know, just on a silver platter. So, hey, we're gonna hop into a couple more segments, and these are gonna be something that you will find on a weekly segment. We're gonna start off with Tate. And his segment, I'm not an expert, but Tate, take it away.
All right. Welcome to my segment. Here's a story here that I just read, and I found it really interesting. So I'm going to find it real quick and read it out to you all in a second. I don't know where to go. All right. So residents in an Austin, Texas neighborhood undergoing a federal mandated sewer replacement noticed that for several weeks starting in September, the work crews would spend the first 3 hours of their 12-hour days digging a huge hole in the street, and the last 3 hours refilling that hole and paving over it, repeating the process each day. The 20 by 20 by 20 foot hole in Monroe Street was too big to be covered by metal plates, and the city's policy of minimal traffic disruption required paving over it for nighttime use, at least doubling the cost of work. All right, well, that's a little story. But I'm not an expert, but if you're going to spend 6 hours of the 12 hours you have to work paving and repaving and redigging a hole that you dug the day before, are you not, in fact, wasting taxpayers' time, money, and efforts and just causing a whole big ruckus for no reason? They could have done this job in half the time and just put, like, a detour sign up, right, and just let people go around it for a week or two. But no, they had to dig it and uproot stuff and fill stuff every other day. That's kind of dumb. I'm not an expert, but I think we got to change that.
Very nice. And we're going to go to Josh with his how-to section.
Yes, how-to. Today's segment is how to freak out people on an elevator. You can use this next time you go to work, go to the hospital, anywhere with an elevator. One, stare at your thumb and then say, "Hey, I think it just grew. Did you see that?" They love that. Two, ask people what floor they want and then push the wrong button. Three, creepily hum popular children's tunes. Four, introduce yourself as Admiral, shake their hands, and confidently ask, boxers or briefs? Five, list off as many cartoon characters in alphabetical order as fast as you can. When you mess up, violently smack your head and call yourself an idiot. Six, sing inappropriate rap tunes. Seven, push the button for the next floor, and when the doors open, don't move. When people look at you, smile and say, ha ha, suckas. Push the button to the next floor and repeat. Eight, introduce yourself in your best David Bowie impression as, I'm David Bowie. And that's how you freak out people in an elevator.
All right. Well, last thing we're talking about is, this is a little bit more real. Y'all can chime in on this if you want. This is going to be my pickup line / dating advice section. And today I want to start off with an actual dating issue that frustrates the mess out of me. I've got a good friend who was dating a guy. They broke up a month or so. And now he's doing that thing that he's like, oh, let's get back together. I was so stupid. I want you. I deserve you. Yada, yada, yada.
He couldn't get the girl he broke up with her for, right?
I mean, I don't know. But then she's being like, you know, playing the games. Like, oh, well, I don't know. I'm kind of seeing some people around here. And she's not. But I'm like, what's up with dating games and, like, these mind games that,
is
like.
Is she in high school?
No. You know her. I'm not going to say her name, but we all know her. We all know her.
Will you email us at amateurexpert.com?
Yeah. No, so I mean, that's what I don't get. And I was talking with another friend of mine about this. Was like, really, like, I don't get the games, because it's like, it seems like a serious issue to.
Oh, I agree. I was even telling somebody the other day, if I asked a girl out, I would rather her say, I'm just not attracted to you. Boom. You know, or I think you're ugly. I think you're a lot of fun, or you're whatever. You're I don't want to hear the, you know what, we should just be friends. Or
be friends? Be that's funny. White people.
I don't want. Like, we should just be boos.
So anyway, my advice to that is don't play the dating games. Do it or don't. Do it or don't. That's what I say.
Make a decision and stick with it, right?
Absolutely. Well, hey, this is we're gonna go ahead and wrap this up. Thanks for joining us on the first ever episode of Amateur Experts.
Hey, should we approach the amateur thing, the spelling?
Sure. Why don't you explain that just real quick?
Yes, because this is going to – I'm opposed to how we spelled amateur. We intentionally misspelled the word amateur just so that you will ask us why we misspelled amateur.
Amateurs do things wrong sometimes.
That's right.
Like spell.
We're experts.
We're experts at everything, but we're amateurs at spelling.
Yeah, it's irony.
It is irony.
If you have a question about that, ask Tate or Kendall.
Tate or Kendall.
We've already
amateur experts.gmail.com. I don't know what it is.
All right. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Hey, thanks for joining us today. But my brain. All righty. Hey, y'all have a good one. And,
you won't see them. It's a podcast. Are you going to see them?
Next time.
And we'll get you back with. We'll be in touch next week. You guys have a great week. Bye bye. Don't